Chapter 4. With the Corps and staff in our possession, we headed back down the mountain. Somehow, the trip back home seemed to go much faster than the journey there, and I assumed it was because we finally had the Corps in our possession. We pushed our horses harder than ever because we'd grown to know them over the journey, and they'd begun to trust us as their riders. We hadn't spent much time at the trapper's encampment, just enough to discharge them and send them back to the duchy. It was vitally important to get home as soon as possible, since every moment that passed was time the Queen would have to discover our plans and try to thwart them. We rode our horses hard back to Edenheart, barely stopping for a few hours of rest before we pushed on to our destination. We flew through the mountains, grassy plains, and finally reached the rising hills that led to the curving mountains surrounding our small city. On the morning of the second day, we arrived back in our town, and the soldiers standing guard nodded to us as we galloped past. We took the main streets back to the manor since they were the fastest, and Edenheart looked like nothing more than a ghost town. All of the shops were closed and locked up tight, and all the curtains were drawn from the fateful morning when we attacked the aristocrats. My monster women took in all of it with serene and pleased expressions. We'd worked hard to make all of this happen, and the newly created monster women would join us in our fight against the Queen and her faithful subjects. After the battle against the Drake, I was confident that we'd be able to win. But I also had no idea what the Queen and her marchionesses would throw at us in the coming months. Once all the nobles of the duchy were transformed, I would work on augmenting my women's powers with the Drake's elemental core, but before all of that, I had a promise to keep. As we climbed the hill toward home, I glanced over my shoulder toward Josephine, and the heiress tilted her head curiously. Her orange cat-like eyes held so much love for me within them, and it was finally my turn to give her what she wanted. She'd waited a long time and never complained that she wasn't the next in line. I felt sorry that we'd had to postpone her transformation for so long, but it was here and now. We would do it today, no matter what.
"What's the matter, Charles?"
the honey blonde asked. "Nothing's wrong," I smiled. "In fact, everything is falling into place. Do you know what today is, my dear?"
"Tuesday?"
Valerie piped up.
"Laundry day?"
Daisy offered.
"We do laundry on Tuesday, don't we? Or is it Thursday? I always get those two mixed up."
"Daisy, you're the one who does the laundry. How could you forget?"
"I don't know. Sometimes I like to switch it up between Tuesdays and Thursdays. Then I get all mixed up and forget what day I need to do it in the first place."
"It's Tuesday?"
Ryan gasped.
"Goodness gracious. I need to water all of my plants. Hurry, Charles. Their soil is probably bone dry by now. I should have told Cleia to water them while I was gone, but I forgot."
"It's none of those things," I shook my head, eyed Edeny out of the corner of my eye, and then grinned. "But something much more exciting. Today, we welcome our newest monster sister into our family." Valerie's light blue eyes glittered excitedly, and she wriggled in her saddle for a moment as she giggled. A knowing smile spread over the bear girl's plump lips, and she eyed Josephine slyly.
Charles,
the honey blonde gasped.
"Do you mean it? Do you really mean it? I get to be a monster girl now?"
"It's finally your turn, my love," I breathed. "We have the core, and you know what that means. We'll prepare as soon as we get to the manor."
"But what about the core?"
the imp woman asked.
"Are we going to break it when we get there, or..."
"No," I stated. "I want to use the entire core for the experiment. Edeny received the full power of the core when we used the Raiju, and I think that Josephine should too. Before we shatter the core and use the individual pieces, I want to research ways to augment all of your pre-existing powers first. Then we'll move on to the aristocrats afterward. I want all of you to be the most powerful out of all of them. It'll be us who kills the Queen, with the help of our army of monster women. So I'll need to enhance all your powers to Edeny's level."
"Charles!"
Josephine whimpered and wiped away a tear that threatened to trickle down her cheek.
"I'm so happy! Thank you. I've waited for this for so long, and now it's finally happening. Thank you so much.
Oh, there's the manor, and there's Cleia!"
The feline woman pointed up the hill, and I spied the blue-haired woman on the manor's porch with Private Page standing closely by. The two of them waved excitedly and rushed down the stairs to meet us in the drive. I let go of the reins, slid out of the saddle, and jumped to the ground with my arms open wide for the Nyx woman. Cleia slammed into me and pressed her lips to mine feverishly. I held her close to my body in a tight embrace and sucked in all of her warmth. We'd only been gone for a few days, but I'd missed her so much. The smell of her hair, the touch of her soft skin, and of course, her curvaceous body pressed into mine. The Nyx woman's tongue slipped into my mouth and played with mine, while the rest of my women hooted excitedly from their horses' backs. When we finally parted, Cleia stared up at me with relief in her enormous, ice-blue-colored eyes.
"Oh, Charles, you're finally home. Oh, I've missed you so much."
"I've missed you too, my love," I grunted, and tucked a strand of her hair behind her pointed ear.
"Lord Rayburn," Private Page boomed and then bowed low. "It's wonderful to see you again, and may I congratulate you on your successful mission."
"Did you get it, Charles? Did you get the core?"
"Come," I instructed. "Let's go down into the laboratory. I'll show you, and we're going to transform Josephine."
"Really?"
The turquoise-haired woman squealed.
"Yes! Oh, finally!"
Cleia raced across the gravel and grabbed onto Josephine as the heiress carefully climbed out of the horse's saddle. The honey blonde laughed softly and tightly embraced her sister. While my women were preoccupied with clamoring off their horses and greeting their missed sister, I turned toward Private Page with my arms folded behind my back. "Any reports or news?" I asked.
"Yes, Your Grace," the older man nodded. "Six aristocrats were apprehended, and your monster women managed to wear them down and arrest them. We brought them back here, dosed them heavily, and placed them into the cages."
"Anything else?" I probed. "Did the aristocrats you brought here give you any trouble?"
"No," Private Page shook his head. "No trouble at all. Miss Cleia was very helpful to us. She showed us where the tranquilizer was, gave us needles, and showed all the soldiers how to inject them properly. Most of the nobles are awake, but we've kept them tranquilized in a daze. They've been too tired and out of it to activate their abilities. Those who have stayed asleep are being carefully watched for signs of dehydration, and we'll stop administering the tranquilizer to keep them healthy."
"Good, good," I nodded. "Thank you for your service. You're dismissed for now and can go back to whatever you were doing before."
"Thank you, Your Grace,"
the captain nodded, saluted me, and turned on his heels. "Josephine," I called her through the thick crowd of excited monster women.
"Yes, Charles,"
the heiress grinned through the mass of smiling faces around her. "Shall we prepare?" I gestured toward the manor and my waiting laboratory.
"Yes!"
Josephine gushed and raced forward to take my hand.
"Oh, Charles, I'm so excited. Hurry, let's go down together."
I tugged on her hand toward my horse, opened up the saddlebag, and took out the glowing core from inside. All seven of us stared down at it for a moment in utter awe. I had to admit, the sphere was one of the most beautiful things I had ever seen in my life. It had swirling colors of deep royal purple, dark and light blue with streaks of gold and yellow sparkles. I'd never seen anything like it in my life, and I felt so proud that I'd managed to find it. The seven of us hurried toward the house, thumped down the stairs, and threw open the laboratory door with an echoing bang. The room was quiet and dark, and my stunning, colossal machine loomed off in the distance.
"Hey!" AB's voice shrieked from the corner. "Warn a brain before you burst in here like that. I'm trying to sleep. Or, you know, float around and try to remember what it was like to dream. What was it like? Was it nothingness? Darkness with flashes of light and color? Or did I see things like people and places? Well, I've been a brain for so long I don't remember much."
"Sorry, AB," I hastily apologized. "I'm just eager to be back in the laboratory."
"Oh, are you going to make love to another one of your monster women down here? You know, Charles, you'll have to take me out of here before you guys do that kind of stuff. I may not have eyes, but it's challenging for a brain to stare at a blank wall for a while and pretend that nothing's happening around him. Unless you're into that. In which case,
I'm very sorry, AB," I apologized again. "Next time, I'll have one of the ladies take you upstairs."
"Thank you very much. Now, what are all of you doing down here so early in the morning?"
"Is it morning?"
Or evening. I can't really tell because no one's visited me down here for a while.
Oh, we're very sorry we've neglected you,
Daisy soothed and rushed over to the tank.
But something thrilling will happen over the next few weeks.
And what is that? Did you finally find me a beautiful and bumpy-brained bride? I've been waiting for this moment for years. How do I look? Am I pristine? Is my surface scrubbed clean of mold and mildew? There's only so much I can do with my brain stem, but I try to keep it tidy.
Sadly, no, I croaked. We haven't found you a bride, and I doubt that we ever will.
But don't say that! I'm sure that we can find one for AB. There's love out there for everyone, even brains floating in mysterious liquids.
Yeah, what Valerie said. I think I'm a very eligible bachelor. I may not have a job, but I do like to put down roots and stay in the same place for hours on end, you know. That's got to mean something to a lady brain, right?
I'm sure it does, I nodded. And maybe we'll find a lady brain for you when we leave Edenheart.
Leave Edenheart? What? How? When? Oh, never mind all that. I'm not a brain who stays in one place anymore. I'll move wherever you want me to, Charles. So, where are we going?
On to the next city with all of the newly made monster women, I explained. Then, once we've defeated them and transformed them, too, we'll keep moving on until we finally reach the Queen.
And what are you going to do with the Queen?
A.B. innocently asked.
Kill her!
The feline woman sang.
Oh, okay, well, wait. What did you just say? Going to kill the Queen? The most powerful woman in the old country?
Yes, I breathed.
I'm not coming,
A.B. shook in his liquid.
I'm not, and you can't make me. I'll hang out in this goddamn tank with my brainstem if I have to. You can't make me.
All right, I shrugged and slipped on a lab coat. Then you can stay here, in the empty house, with no one to talk to, and no one to clean off your surface or change your tank. It's fine. I don't mind leaving you here.
What? No, no, please take me with you. I want to go. I want to see the world and live, Charles. Please don't leave me here to rot alone.
All right, all right. We'll bring you with us. I held the core in both my hands and stepped toward the open door of Compartment A. I rested the colorful orb on the corrugated flooring and then snapped the door shut with a click. Then I turned, grabbed one of the vials of my blood from the last transformations, opened up Compartment C, and dribbled a little bit of it out onto the floor. Once that was finished, I stared into the window for a moment and then turned toward the patiently waiting heiress. Josephine, would you come with me?
Yes.
The honey blonde nodded and held her hand out to me. I slipped it into mine and took a step toward the second compartment. I opened the door for her and gestured her inside, but Josephine hesitated for a moment. I saw the apprehension in her wide orange eyes, and I placed a steady hand in the middle of her back to comfort her.
Everything will be all right, my love. We're right here with you. There's nothing to be afraid of.
Thank you, Charles.
Josephine tittered nervously.
I think I'll be all right.
The heiress let go of my hand, squared her shoulders, and stepped inside the compartment. The honey blonde slowly turned as I shut the door and locked it from the outside. We stared at each other through the window for a moment, and the heiress gave me a nervous smile, but nodded for me to proceed.
"Are we ready?" I asked as I put my blood in the chamber, crossed the room, and held the lever tightly in my hands.
"Yes!"
Valerie sang.
"Yep,"
Ryan boomed.
"Let's do this, Charles."
Proceed,
Edeny chuckled. Both Cleia and Daisy nodded to me with gentle but excited smiles. I swung the giant lever down into its cradle, and electricity crackled to life. All of the bulbs above our heads snapped to life with a loud hum. The sound rose in our ears as blinding white light poured out of all three of the compartments. Josephine's silhouette glowed against the window in Compartment B for a moment. I felt the electricity pass from the panel of lights and switches, traveled through the thick, snaking wires across the floor, and finally reached my machine. The copper exterior of my machine glowed with heat, and steam poured through the bolt's cracks. The pistons at the top of the machine moved so quickly that they were blurs through the air, but I was surprised to see that no smoke erupted out of my machine like all of the times before. The noise coming from my machine heightened to a single pitch and almost sounded like an opera singer's warbling voice. The blinding white light intensified and then changed in tone to an icy blue.
By science,
Edeny breathed.
I never...
It's so beautiful, so absolutely stunning. This is unbelievable, Charles. You built this. You brought all of this to life. See?
Valerie giggled.
Everyone loves this part. It never gets old. We love the transformation process so much and are always so excited when we get a new sister.
We'd done this many times before, and the process still mystified all of us. The method seemed intensified with the core instead of the usual beast. The light was brighter, the sounds were purer, and something deep inside told me that when Josephine finally emerged, she'd be even more perfect than any other monster woman. I'd worked so hard to streamline my machine, and now with the core in place, it functioned even more beautifully. I lowered myself closer to the ground and covered my eyes with my calloused hands. I waited for a long time and listened to the labored breathing of my women.
Was that it?
Edeny gasped.
It ends so abruptly each time.
Don't worry. We'll be doing a lot more transformations, and I'm sure that you'll get tired of it eventually.
No. No, never. That was one of the most beautiful things I've ever laid my eyes on. Hold on! This is the best part! Charles, do your thing. Bring Josephine out! Come on, guys! Bring Josie out! Bring Josie out!
I breathed in deeply, shook my arms, and stepped toward the third compartment. During Edeny's transformation, inside the bay, the smoke had light blues and purples, but this time, they were deep scarlet reds and yellows intermixed. I wondered what she'd look like, and soon we would all find out. My hand gripped onto the handle, twisted it, and then creaked the door open. My machine ticked softly in the background, but I ignored the noise and searched through the thick smog for any signs of life. I spied a crouched silhouette in the corner, and I instantly breathed a sigh of relief. Josephine? Josephine, are you all right?
Charles?
A soft, feminine voice I immediately recognized replied.
Did it work? I don't feel any different.
The silhouette in the corner of the compartment stood, wobbled for a second, and then fell forward through the smoke. I rushed forward to catch her, and Josephine finally emerged from the haze a few inches from my face. She looked so beautiful with her wide, orange cat-like eyes aimed up at my face. Then my gaze shifted to the two sets of horns spiraling out of her honey-blonde hair. The first set sat slightly above her ears, were large and curved back, while the smaller set above came to about 4 or 5 inches in length. The hands that clutched my forearms were taloned with long black nails. Then, I felt something brush against my pant leg's fabric, and I glanced down toward the metal flooring. Josephine had a tail, but it certainly wasn't like any of my other monster women's. This was thick and covered in scarlet scales. The tip looked exactly like that of the Drake's, with a single long spike at the end.
By science, you're magnificent!
Really?
The Drake woman gasped.
You think so?
Yes. Let me bring you to your sisters so that they can see you.
I took her hand into mine, pushed the door open a little more, and then stepped out. A collective gasp erupted out of my remaining 5 women, and Valerie clapped her hands over her mouth to stop herself from screaming out of joy.
Josephine,
Daisy whispered.
You look so beautiful.
My dear sister,
Ryan boomed.
You finally become one of the clan. Not that you weren't part of it to begin with, but you know what I mean. How do you feel?
I don't know. I don't feel any different. I feel more powerful, but I can't activate my power. Is that what this feels like?
Yes.
Edeny nodded.
I couldn't use mine, and it felt as if I was missing something. But a lot of things changed for me, especially my world and societal views. Yours didn't, because you already felt that way from the beginning. Your horns are so pretty,
the Nyx woman bubbled.
They kind of remind me of Ryan's, but longer, and with 4 instead of 2.
My goodness, this is quite a change,
Josephine murmured, and bowed her head shyly.
Charles?
Yes, my dear?
Am I supposed to feel this tired afterwards?
The Drake woman probed.
I feel as if I've run 20 miles. Or maybe it's the exhaustion from the past few days finally settling in. Do you mind if we postpone the examination? I think I need to rest.
Sure, my love. Ladies, will you take your sister upstairs and let her rest for the night? We'll do the examination first thing tomorrow morning, and then I'll work on breaking the core.
Of course, Charles.
Daisy nodded.
Josephine, we'll take you upstairs and help you get settled in. I know it's all very overwhelming right now, but tomorrow you'll feel much better.
The bear girl took her sister by the arm and then led her up the stairs toward the manor. Valerie, Ryan, Cleia, and Edany moved to go too, but the Duchess paused in the doorway.
Aren't you coming, Charles?
The she-wolf asked. No, I shook my head and smiled tiredly. I'm going to stay down here and work for a little bit longer. I want to clean up a bit and prepare for the last few transformations tomorrow.
All right. Don't stay up too late, okay? We need our rest, but so do you.
I will. Don't worry. I chuckled and then snatched up a rag from the side table. I'm just going to clean up a bit and then I'll come upstairs. The wolf woman smiled and then tapped up the stairwell after her sisters. I sighed under my breath and tried to ignore the aching exhaustion in all of my limbs. I opened the door into Compartment C, bent, and began to wipe up the dried blood on the floor with the rag. I'd done this experiment so many times now, and it always needed my blood. I'd always wondered about that. Why hadn't the original experiments worked? Edany had wanted super soldiers, but no matter what I did or tried, the experiment always failed. Except for that one time with Valerie. Was it my blood that made the experiment work? I'd never gotten a clear-cut answer, despite how many times I'd repeated the transformation process. I sat back on my haunches and glanced around the interior of the third compartment. Would the experiment work without my blood? If I used an aristocrat and solely the core, would it work, or would it fail miserably? Could it be done? I whispered. Is it even possible? Or was all of it because of my blood? I never understood why the experiment worked, but I still placed my blood within my machine. And when I'd tested Valerie's, there'd been a minuscule amount of mine within her blood. So, did that mean that my blood was the source of all this? That I was the sole creator of these monster women because of some type of source within my body? If I recreated the experiment with another man's blood, would it work, or would it fail miserably? It can't be, I dismissed it and shook my head. But what if I were to test it out, just to see what would happen? I couldn't get the idea out of my head. As a man of science, I needed to know if my theory was correct. If I tested it on a single female with another man's blood, and the experiment didn't work without it, then I'd have my answer. If it did, my whole process and theory were wrong. Then I'd be able to move on from this. I stood from my position, snapped the door closed, and hurried toward the stairwell. I climbed them two at a time until I reached the top and searched the yard for Private Page. I searched for him among the aisles of empty cages and finally found him in the distance. Private Page! Private Page, over here! The older man's head snapped in my direction, and once he caught sight of me, he ran over.
Yes, my lord, the soldier asked. What is it I can do for you?
I have two requests, I grunted.
Anything, Private Page chuckled. I'll provide you with anything you need.
Not necessary. I need a single aristocrat. Just bring her down to me in the laboratory. It doesn't matter which one, just bring her down.
And a second request? Private Page probed.
This is going to sound strange, but I need blood. A healthy man's blood.
Would my blood do, sire? The guard asked.
Would you be willing to give blood? I asked. I only need a few drops. I'm trying to test a theory with the creation of my monster women.
Anything you need. I'll grab one of the aristocrats while I'm at it.
Good. I'll meet you down there. I turned on my heels right as Askara opened the only cage without remaining aristocrats inside, grabbed one by the dress, and hauled her unconscious body out. It didn't take long for Private Page to enter into the laboratory with the unconscious noble, and he threw her to the concrete ground with a grunt, then turned toward me.
"Should I sit?" Private Page asked.
"Yes," I gestured toward the smaller chair. "Here, this'll only take a moment. I won't need very much."
"Are you gonna draw blood, sire?"
the soldier asked nervously.
"With a needle?"
"Yes," I grunted. "Is there a problem with that?"
"Well, yes. I've always been afraid of needles. Never really got used to them when the school moms would jab us with them every few months for our shots."
"Well, I can understand that. But I need your blood."
"How about this?"
Askara grunted, reached toward his belt, and unsheathed a small dagger. The guard pressed the blade into the palm of his hand, nicked the skin, and then made a tight fist as it began to bleed. I intended to hold his blood in a container and drop it onto Compartment C's floor, but this seemed a bit easier. "Come this way," I waved and opened the door into Compartment C. "Hold out your hand and let the blood drip onto the floor. Count down from five, all right?"
"One, two, three,"
Askara repeated as the drops of blood plinked against the metal flooring.
"Is that good enough, Charles?"
"Yes, yes. That's all I need from you. Thank you."
"Well, you're very welcome, sire. I hope you have a good rest of your evening. Please, get some rest. The little ladies were looking quite concerned when they went inside earlier."
"I will. I promised them I would." I waited until Private Page left the room before I closed Compartment C's door. Then I made sure that the Corps remained inside of Compartment A, and then dragged the aristocrat into Compartment B. I snapped the door shut and didn't pause as I launched myself across the room toward the wall of buttons and bulbs. I was so close to knowing if it was really my blood that made the difference or if it could be done with any man's blood. I was so excited that I could barely contain myself as I gripped the lever and ceremoniously swung it down into its cradle. The light snapped on above my head and flickered for a moment as the panel sent electricity through the snaking wires toward my machine. When it finally reached it, a blinding white light poured through the window of Compartment B, and an earth-shattering shriek nearly burst my eardrums. I clapped my hands over my ears and tried to decipher if the sound came from my machine or the aristocrat inside. Light poured out of all three of the compartments, and black smoke billowed out of the exhaust valves at the top. I smelt something burning, though I couldn't tell if it was the smell of the inner components combusting or burning flesh from this distance away. I couldn't let whatever was happening inside destroy my machine, so I scrambled for the lever and slammed it back into the off position. I felt the immense heat coming off my machine when I stepped forward, and I immediately knew that something had gone wrong. When I reached for the doors of Compartment C, I noticed that the windows were clear of smoke, and I could see inside. "That can only mean," I grunted. My feet shifted toward the smoke-filled window of Compartment B. I tentatively stepped toward it, reached for the handle, and opened it slowly. I wafted the haze away from my face and coughed heartily as the smoke cleared out from the small room. What I saw inside was nothing more than a burnt husk laying in a blackened, gooey mess. Her face was unrecognizable, but her badly charred hands reached up toward where her neck should be. My eyes widened, my heart hammered in my chest, and the hair at the back of my neck raised. My clammy hand held tightly onto the door handle for a moment, and then fell limply to my side. It was true. My blood was the entire reason that the experiment worked in the first place. What could this mean? I almost couldn't fucking believe it. "By science," I hissed through my teeth. My stomach dropped when I realized my theory was correct. This was sorcery, and I was the sorcerer.